Never before in history did we have to fight with our own country for the security of our own country. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
In my 30 years as an agent, I have never witnessed the conditions we are currently facing on the southwest border. This is not a manufactured crisis created by those of us who live and work in the border area.
Well, amen to that. That was the Border Patrol chief after we were all there, right? Last year, year before, talking about this so-called manufactured crisis. Well, that manufactured crisis has turned into millions and millions and millions of illegal aliens in the United States. And I'll never forget Harry Reid saying, the border's secure. The border's secure. And they were saying that for years. And it's never been secure, but they've sure evaded the wall. In fact, they can drum up a fake impeachment in a week. The wall, it'll take another 22 years, I'm sure, to try and get this thing on, going. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. I welcome all you global listeners out there and listeners all over the country and Canada, too. We never forget about you, too. And I'm excited. We have a guest this hour. Melissa is out, so we wish her the best as she has no voice today. And I invited Ed Ashurst to come on with me. I've been wanting to get him on for a little while here. I interviewed Ed probably a year ago and then maybe a year before that on the border. And he's probably the go-to person I'd ever talk to about what's actually going on the border. He lives on the border. He's a rancher and he lives on the border. And I welcome you, Ed. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. You betcha. Ed wrote a really explosive book that I read it before I interviewed Ed. And let me tell you, I couldn't put it down. Alligators in the Moat. It's a fantastic read and it has the best reviews because it's really that good and it's explosive in nature in that it's going to say a lot of things that you probably really haven't thought about or heard. And talking to somebody on the border is totally different than talking to a politician. You had a meeting with McCain. The late McCain, and I'm no fan of McCain at all, not zero, zero fan of McCain. And it was interesting to say that McCain kept talking about metrics, wanting metrics and technology to solve the problem, but never really even really wanting that to solve the problem. He just kept coming up with those buzzwords. And all the ranchers were sitting in a meeting telling him exactly what would work, exactly what they needed. And I thought that was one of the goofiest meetings I've ever heard. I can't even imagine what it was like to be in that meeting, Ed.
It was very interesting, frustrating. I was sitting two chairs away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was with another senator from Delaware, I believe,
yes.
Tom Carper,
mm-hmm.
and a congressman named Mike McCall, who at the time was House Chair on Homeland Security.
Mm.
And at the end of the meeting, a gal asked, a local rancher lady asked McCain, who is going to decide when the border is secure? Because we had been mm-hmm. hearing over and over and over, you know, Napolitano,
sure.
Eric Holder, Obama, Clinton. The border's more secure than ever. And McCain looked at this gal whose husband had been murdered or whose brother had been murdered by an illegal alien.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, it's going to take a combination of people. And the gal wouldn't let it drop. She said, no. Who is going to decide when the border is secure?
Right.
And McCain said with total disdain in his voice, it's going to have to be the smartest people in the country. And it was quite obvious that
wow.
he didn't think any of those smartest people were in the room with
him. Oh, my gosh.
It was comical.
I can't even imagine. Because you live on the border.
Condescending. Condescending.
Yes, yes. What is it like living on the border for you?
Well, it's... we lived through a 20-year period here where seeing a group of illegal aliens was an everyday occurrence, sometimes two or three a day.
Mm-hmm.
I've helped the Border Patrol apprehend literal thousands of them. My home has been burglarized. We've had vehicles stolen. I've had neighbors murdered, et cetera, et cetera. But the most frustrating thing is the fact that when you live right on the border, you realize that the root of the problem, and that was the whole theme of my book, Alligators in the Moat, is this is politically driven.
Right.
This problem could be solved, but the people in Washington, D.C. absolutely refuse to address it. A great deal of the time, they even refuse to admit that it exists. And it's worse and unsolved because of them. It isn't because it can't be. It could be solved, but they will not deal with it. And that's the most frustrating thing to an American citizen.
Well, yeah, you would think they would want to help you, want to protect you, want to be in your best interest, and that is not the case at all. So,
absolutely not. Absolutely not. The only thing they care about is votes.
Right.
And we had a meeting one time with Tom Tancredo, congressman from Colorado, who is a good man. He ran for president. I actually was in a couple meetings with him, and he was one of the few of those types that I actually liked. But he told us, and this was 12, 14 years ago,
right,
he said, you can walk the halls of Congress, and you, on any given day, you cannot find three people who will get in a conversation about dealing with the Mexican border.
Wow.
They absolutely will not even talk about it.
Oh, my gosh. How frustrating. I can't even imagine. I just what you guys have been through, and I know you've pled with elected officials to do something. Nobody's doing a thing, and I don't perceive, you know, and who knows? I don't know what's going on there currently. Has it changed at all in the last year at all?
Right here where I live, I live in what was the worst part of the border for 20 or 25 years. It has got better where I am, but just east of me in Hidalgo County, New Mexico, the Animas, Hachita area, the Budiel of New Mexico, it's now that's the hot spot. There have been thousands of aliens come through there in the last couple years. There's so many of them, the Border Patrol could not get to the border if they wanted to. All 100% of their time is taken up doing nothing but processing the aliens that come across. They run their fingerprints through a computer. They hold them at a place where they can take a shower, get something to eat, and they take their name down, and then they turn them loose on the streets of Las Cruces and let them go anywhere they want to go. And it takes all of the agents in the dimming Lordsburg stations to do that. None of them are on the Mexican border.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's 60, 80 miles east of where I live.
Have we seen any rise in Border Patrol agents being hired in the last few years or no?
There, in the last 2 years, there's a huge decrease in the number of agents. That's something that isn't on the news right now. The government doesn't want to talk about that. Morale, and this is something that we're going to talk about in this interview, hopefully, about this other book. But morale in the Border Patrol is at the absolute bottom of the barrel. When agents get hired, as soon as many of them, as soon as they can, they transfer out into other government agencies.
Right.
And no, there's fewer Border Patrol today than there was 5 years ago.
Ouch. Ouch. Okay. All right. So let's talk.
Nobody's talking about that.
Yeah,
I mean, they don't want you to know that, but that's the truth.
That's the truth. Okay. I'm so glad you said that. In your book, there was a piece of your book that was dedicated to a Border Patrol agent, Nick Ivey, who's only 30 years old, who was murdered. And we were told something very, very different in the press. In fact, he was a husband, father of two daughters. Ivy was murdered in cold blood by smugglers near the Mexican border just 5 weeks before the 2012 presidential election. And his case went cold before he was buried. 7 years later, the investigation had been closed, and the killers were never prosecuted. Author Huey Freeman, his new book, and he's also an investigative reporter, he uncovered the true story about what actually happened on October 2nd, 2012, in the Mule Mountain Range and near the Brian A. Terry Border Patrol Station. And Freeman spent 2.5 years on this project, and he obtained eyewitness testimony, went through autopsy reports, you name it. And the book is called Who Shot Nick Ivey? And it documents how President Obama's FBI, directed by Robert Mueller, his name's come up a lot, hasn't it, transformed a murder by cartel operatives into what they said in the media narrative was a friendly fire incident in just 3 days. And so we're going to talk about this because I think this is such an important story, because you have to know why they covered it up. And you have to know, you know, obviously there are certain cases they do nothing with, and certain cases they jump right on. That's why I said in 3 days, because they had this thing wrapped up and into the election and no problem at the border, America. This was just an accident, mishap, friendly fire, right? For Nick Ivey. That's what they said.
Correct.
Ooh, but that's not the story. And so Ed is going to let us know a little bit more about this book and about what happened, because it's so important to me. I know we have about a minute before we go to the break, but I think, you know, even in your book, Ed, when I was reading your book, I remember reading about this and thinking there's obviously none of the facts ever added up. Everything they said was never really, really the case. And really, I think it was in your book where you posed the question, you know, how do you get to the truth? And it's probably going to be more local. Local law enforcement probably will tell you closer to the truth than the big agencies would. And I really liked that point, because I think that's very true. But I think this was right at the time. I mean, we had Benghazi, we had all these different things going on that were taking the headlines. But this was actually something, this cover-up is really, really important. We need to know about what happened here. And we're going to come right back and tell you about this. Ed's book is Alligators in the Moat. And this book is Who Shot Nick Ivey, that we're going to talk about too. And that's by Huey Freeman. You can get both books on Amazon. I could not put Ed's book down. I'll tell you something. There's so much information that we need to know and understand about what's going on down there that really does kind of turn it on its head, because you don't really know unless you're down there. So you get to hear from the ranchers and Ed, you know, what's really going on. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Wicked and evil while casting a spell. My love was deep for this Mexican maiden. I was in love, but in vain I could tell. One night a wild young cowboy came in, wild as the West Texas wind.
Hi there, welcome back. Kate Daly Show here. Make sure and go to katedalyradio.com. Good old Marty Robbins, El Paso. Make sure and go to katedalyradio.com. Make sure you're taking Balance of Nature. It is a fantastic supplement. And the reason I love them as a sponsor for the show is that I actually take the supplement. I won't talk about anything on the air that I don't take personally and that I don't love. So I absolutely love the supplement, and we need to be taking something. You've got to take an awful lot of fruits and vegetables into your body now compared to what we would have had to have eaten 80 years ago, just because the nutrients are missing. Make sure that you get Balance of Nature. It's three vegetables for fruit and three vegetable capsules every day. You can put in the code Kate and you're getting, you can get that savings and free shipping right now. It's a great gift. And also you're getting 31 fruits and vegetables dehydrated down every single day. That's over 11 servings of fruits and vegetables. You can't beat it. Make sure and put in the code Kate though to get your savings. I have a terrific guest, Ed Ashurst. He's one of my favorites because he just is a straight shooter, and Ed's a rancher and has been living on the border for quite some time, and has met with elected officials and has tried to solve this issue with the border and tried to alert people on what's going on. His book, Alligators in the Moat, is fantastic. It's a must read. You've got to get it. And we're about to talk about one of the things he talked about in Alligators in the Moat is a story about border agent Nick Ivey, who was murdered down on the border in 2012. And there was a cover-up by the government at that time. Under the Obama administration, there was a cover-up on what exactly happened. And so you knew this because none of the facts added up. Right, Ed? When you wrote your book.
Yeah, I don't live very far away from where Nick was murdered. I've actually been there horseback gathering cattle. I know everybody in the area, mm-hmm. and all of us locally knew from the get-go that it was a narco murder, mm-hmm. and we knew from the get-go that when Napolitano, Aguilar, and Obama said it was friendly fire, case closed, mm-hmm. that it was a lie, mm-hmm. and we knew it was a sham from the start. So we're right here, and...
Right.
We knew all about it. It happened, you know, in my back door almost. So,
tell us about it.
When I wrote my book, Alligators in the Moat, a gentleman gave me an envelope and said, you need to read this.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to say anything about Ivy's case because I really didn't. I knew that he was murdered, but I didn't have any facts.
Mm-hmm.
The guy gave me 40 pages of Cochise County incident narratives, Cochise County Sheriff's Office, which are crime reports.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a dozen deputies who were involved, and one of them in particular described the scene and the interview of another agent involved, and it was totally opposite of what the government was saying. Nick Ivey responded about midnight to an electronic sensor tripped by human walking by it. He walked in from the north. Two other agents walked in from the south. Gunfire erupted. Ivy was murdered. The other agents both saw outlaw narco drug smugglers.
Mm-hmm.
They saw them walk south back into Mexico. They saw the drug packs on their back. The FBI and the Border Patrol tried to intimidate them and say that that wasn't so, but they stood their ground. Within 3 days, the government at the highest level, Secretary of Homeland Security Janet Napolitano, Eric Holder, David mm-hmm. Aguilar, Deputy Border Patrol Commissioner, told the world that Nick Ivey shot at the other agents for no reason, that there were no narcos present. He died because of friendly fire from another Border Patrol agent. It's a total lie.
Right.
Here's the deal. Obama was down in the count with Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney was kicking his butt
mm-hmm.
in the debates. Things weren't going good. About 3 weeks before Ivey was murdered, the Benghazi scandal erupted. And Obama was in deep trouble because of that.
Mm-hmm.
It was one scandal after another. He was in deep trouble because of the Fast and Furious scandal. Fast and Furious guns are probably what killed Nick Ivey.
Mm.
The narrative coming out of the White House and from Janet Napolitano and Eric Holder and David Aguilar had repeatedly been the border is more secure than ever. For political reasons, Obama absolutely could not have somebody going on the news and saying a federal agent had been killed by Mexican narcos. He woke up in the morning, on the morning that Nick Ivey was killed about midnight.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, Obama woke up. He got a call, said Border Patrol agent was murdered, Douglas, Arizona. He gets on another phone and tells Napolitano, you go down to Sierra Vista, Arizona, and put a lid on this. She got David Aguilar. They were here within 2 days, and on the third day, the case was closed.
Jeez.
There has never been another government statement about the Ivy death. They were making statements about Ivy's death, and this is in the book. Read the book for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They made statements about the case before the FBI crime lab in Quantico, Virginia, was even received evidence.
Jeez.
There has never been anything else said by the federal government about Ivy's death. Case closed. No, any prosecutor, any good lawman will tell you that you cannot solve intricate murder crime
mm-hmm.
in 48 hours. It
yeah.
doesn't happen that way.
Right.
This is very, very bad law enforcement. It's the, in my opinion, mm-hmm. this is the biggest, most successful presidential cover-up in the history of the United States. It's bigger than Watergate mm-hmm. because in Watergate there was no bloodshed.
Right.
In Watergate there were 69 high-ranking government people indicted. Numerous people went to prison.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has been indicted. Nobody's been investigated. And case closed.
Jeez. You know, I was looking at the news reports from that time, and they all said may have been shot down by friendly fire with other agents over and over and over. And they all use the same language because they all use the AP press release, of course, and Reuters. So everything was that narrative and dropped. What about the family? Did the family ever seek, to have anything done? Somebody looking into this, or were they afraid? Were they afraid to, since it was such a huge cover-up?
That's very interesting. There's a couple things that I think we should mention here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a touchy subject.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the family. I'm not
right.
acquainted with them, but I do know for a fact, and this is in the book, and it's Huey Freeman's book. It's not mine,
mm-hmm.
although I'm in the book. He talked
right.
about me. I'm the guy who originally broke this story.
Sure.
But Huey found out from testimony of Border Patrol agents that agents at the Bryan Terry Station were lined up and threatened that they better keep their mouth shut about this. It's like,
jeez.
You don't know anything. You don't say anything. Case closed.
Hmm.
They were threatened. So nobody, and that's one of the saddest parts of this whole story, is nobody stood up for Nick.
Right.
And that's what the book is trying to do, is stand up for a good, decent person.
Right.
The difference between this and the Fast and Furious scandal, when Bryan Terry was murdered
mm-hmm.
by an alien narco with an AK-47,
mm-hmm.
in Bryan Terry's case, there were a couple other agents who were involved who refused to stand down and let the government tell lies about it.
Sure.
They said, no, that isn't the way it was. In Ivy's case, nobody in the Border Patrol will stand up for him, and I don't know why. Let's talk about something else. Are you still there?
Sure, I'm here. Yep.
Okay. Another interesting thing, and I don't want to be misunderstood what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Ivy was a really good Mormon boy from northern Utah.
Okay.
Strong
mm-hmm.
Mormon family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a Mormon,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to be accused of talking about the Mormon
okay.
bad about the Mormon church. Half of the really close friends I have in Arizona are
mm-hmm.
Mormons.
And I am, so
but
there
let's
you go.
View, mm-hmm. Let's mm-hmm. view the Mormon church as a demographic.
Mm-hmm.
It is, the church is a very powerful political
mm-hmm.
powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, they have totally dropped the ball on this. I would think that they would be the ones
mm-hmm.
leading the charge in trying to get to the bottom of this.
I don't know.
And they mm-hmm. absolutely have done nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this whole deal is a sham.
Mm-hmm.
And the thrust of the book is Nick was a really good
mm-hmm.
person.
Sure.
All the other agents said he was probably the best agent they had. Everybody
mm-hmm.
liked him. And all of them, I interviewed multiple agents And Huey Freeman interviewed multiple agents, and they all said, without fail, that Nick Ivey would have never opened up and started firing at other agents.
Sure.
They all say that is the biggest bunch of baloney that ever... I mean, it's a total crock of baloney.
I've read that, too. I mean, to be fair, though, I don't see a lot of churches heading up investigations or calling for investigations because one of the flock was, no matter what the church is, because one of the flock was killed. I don't see that happen a lot. So I don't know if the expectation there that the church would lead out on that. I would think it would be the families, it would be his fellow colleagues, or it would be, you know, an eyewitness or somebody that was saying this has to be investigated. This story was not told correctly. They lied about it. It's a huge cover-up. But I don't see too many churches kind of going out and for a person's death and calling for investigations. I've just never seen that happen. But you know, and I think it's so sad too. I mean, I'm Mormon, and it's sad to see a good guy like this get murdered. And I think the question is, why did they try so hard to cover this up? I mean, we all know there's violence that goes on. We know people come across the border, and we know people can get murdered. But why did they go to such trouble, do you think? And I know we only have 20 seconds before we have to go to a break, but you can start the answer if you want. But why? Why this cover-up?
It was 100% because some people in high places construed the lie to be political gain. It was all done for political gain.
Wow.
That's the only reason.
We're going to come right back. More with Ed Ashurst. His book, Alligators in the Moat, the book we're talking about, you got to get it too. Who Shot Nick Ivey by Huey Freeman. Be right back.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
As a retired RN, I know the importance of nutrition. I always have good food. It's actually healing you from the cellular level out. I'm living proof of that because for the past decade, I've been dealing with very painful brown spots on my forehead. And the painful brown spots, they're gone. There's only one thing that changed in my life, and that was taking Balance of Nature. I'll never be without my Balance of Nature, ever.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Call or go online now and become a preferred customer, which gives you our best pricing and free shipping. And we will take an additional 25% off of your first order. This will be a limited time offer, so don't wait. Call 800-2468-751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
An old cowboy went riding out one dark and windy day. Up on a ridge he rested as he went along his way.
Hi there. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. So happy you are on a Wednesday. Melissa's out today. I have author Ed Ashurst, who is probably the number one go-to guy for what's going on the border in America today. He's written a great book, Alligators in the Moat. You got to pick the book up because you won't put it down, I promise. And the book by Huey Freeman, Who Shot Nick Ivey, the Border Patrol agent who murdered him, because there was a total cover-up. Within 3 days, they had the entire case sewn up, and the narrative was in the press that it was friendly fire. You know, this happens. I was just telling Ed on the break, that happens in the military, and I'm always second guessing it. Really? Did it really happen because of friendly fire? When that happens, like in the Middle East, you know, away from home across the pond, and something happens. I don't know why, but my first thought is, did that really happen? Is that the real story? And in this case, this was a total cover-up. None of the facts matched. In fact, if you put up the reports side by side, right, Ed, nothing added up in the story. It was like they were telling two completely different stories. In what happened, because the facts were so skewed.
Right. Huey Freeman did a really good job in his research on this book. Absolutely fantastic. And there's lots of stuff that we don't have time to discuss. But what, a couple of the most interesting things in the book is he was able to get the original transcripts of FBI, Border Patrol, and Cochise County Sheriff's Office interviews mm-hmm. with the other two agents that were involved. One of them was a girl named Gracie Borjas, and the other was a guy named David Johnson, who was also wounded.
Right.
And they did not interview Johnson until 5 or 6 days after Ivy's death.
What?
They interviewed Gracie Borjas 4 or 5 hours after the incident, like at the close of the shift at mm-hmm. 5 o'clock in the morning, and then a couple weeks later. Her testimony and Johnson's testimony totally matched. They both said they saw other people there, Mexican narcos. They saw backpacks. They saw guns.
Mm-hmm.
And several weeks later, when they interviewed Gracie Borjas, the FBI tried to intimidate her and get her to put pressure on her and get her to change her story. And she totally stayed stuck to her guns. And there were other people there. And Napolitano, Obama, Eric Holder, they all said nobody was there. There was no reason for this ever to happen other than Nick got scared and he went to blasting away with his gun toward these other agents. The fact is there were a bunch of narcos there who were armed, and they are the ones that murdered Dick. They're the ones that started the whole gunfire thing.
Wow.
And the original transcripts of these FBI interviews are in the book. You can read it yourself.
Right.
There's a couple of we were talking about why does this happen?
Mm-hmm. Why the cover-up?
This was lied about to protect Barack Obama. I look at the big picture here, and if you don't live near Mexico, on the Mexican border, or understand Mexican culture, it's hard perhaps for Americans to understand.
Mm-hmm.
But let me give you a little history lesson here.
Okay.
As Americans, we grow up and we are taught that this is the land of the free and the home of the brave, government by the people, for the people, we the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's our government, and our elected officials are put into powerful places so that they can serve us. And in Mexico, that is not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Mexican government and Mexican culture is built around what is known as mordida, which is bribery.
Mm.
And in Mexico, and if this offends you, so what? Everybody that knows anything about Mexico will tell you that in Mexico, the judicial system is corrupt from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
The police are corrupt from the local police to the national police. The army is corrupt. The church is corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's built around corruption. That's why everybody that has ever heard a story about traveling in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
You tell stories about giving somebody a bribe
mm-hmm.
to get you to the front of the line or to not give you a speeding ticket
right.
or whatever.
Right.
Okay. This is what I see going on here to the United States.
Okay.
We have, instead of standing our ground and being a government that is for the people and by the people and standing up for right and wrong, we have lowered ourselves where we are taking part in the culture of mordida.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Ivy thing is all about. It's about bribery.
Yeah.
It's about taking an incident like the murder of a good man, Nick Ivy, who was a good,
mm-hmm.
patriotic federal agent, murdered by outlaws, and then telling the general public that it was a total different situation, that he wasn't murdered at all, that it was all an accident, and the murderers weren't even present. It's mordida. It's bribery. It's lying.
Wow.
So as a culture, the United States has failed in its role as the world leader to take a neighbor, Mexico, that is a lesser nation, a lesser culture, as far as lower, smaller numbers of a middle class, smaller number of annual GDP, smaller numbers of median income, all these things, rather than raise her up by a good example, we are being lowered because we are taking part in the games that they play.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is what the border is doing to us as a nation.
Right, right.
And it's, I live here, I see it, I speak out about it, and people think I'm crazy because of it. But the truth is, this isn't my problem. This is your problem. If you're in St. George, Utah, or Salt Lake City,
or Chicago,
or downtown Kansas
or
City,
Missouri,
this is your problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's everybody's.
This is your problem. And the government, because they lie and they won't tell the truth, they are lowering our culture instead of raising up the Mexican culture.
Right. We just...
It's a culture of bribery. It's a culture of lies. And that's what the Nick Ivey affair is. It's a complete and total lie coming from the very highest level of the United States government.
Yeah, you're right.
A very good man with a very good family, come from a very good family from northern Utah, was murdered by outlaws, terrorists from another nation, and they lied about it for no other reason than political gain.
No, it just makes
we
me
had
sick.
Nothing to gain in lying about Nick Ivey's. Lying about Ivey's death did not in any way enhance our national security.
I know. It just makes me
it
sick.
It did nothing
to
promote safety and well-being within our borders.
Yep.
It was all done because a few people in high places thought they needed to lie about it for political gain.
So true. You know, it's an important story. Huey Freeman's book, get it? It's called Who Killed Nick Ivey? Because I think these cover-ups, these are the things that need to be exposed the most. And there's so many of them. They're endless. You also, in your book, in Alligators in the Moat, talked about, you know, the partnership, really, of the drug cartels in Mexico with Al-Qaeda, right? And allowing Latin American drug cartels to traffic cocaine, and it goes through West Africa, which links the cartels, and then together with Islamist groups, you know, because some people don't realize the Mexican cartels are international drug rings and leaders. And there's a lot of reasons. What I'm getting at is there's a lot of rings and a lot of leaders, or a lot of reasons why that border stays open. And what do you foresee happening in the next few years, Ed? I mean, you're living right on the border, and that drug trade is very profitable. So I don't see it getting any better. What do you think? What do you think will happen in the next few years? Get worse?
That's why the Ivey book, Who Shot Nick Ivey, that's why this is so important, because if we are ever going to find a solution to these issues, the drug issue, the transporting illegal products over our national boundary, and if you can't stop the marijuana and the heroin from coming across here, you cannot stop an Iranian terrorist with a suitcase nuke. It can't be done.
It's true.
And if we're going to get to the bottom of that and put a stop to that, the general public, which means me and you and your next-door neighbor, we are going to have to get engaged. We are going to have to put the political pressure on these morons in Congress and make them produce.
Right.
And the only way that's going to happen is if people get informed and know what the truth is. And that's what the book, Who Shot Nick Ivey, is. It's producing a product that gives you truth. This is about telling the truth.
In your view,
you are not going to be able to make an intelligent statement to a politician if you are not informed.
Right.
We have to get engaged. We have to be involved in the political process.
Ed, with only a couple of minutes, what do you think will the wall help? I certainly wouldn't solve it, but would it be the majority of help, or would it be more agents? In your view, what would help this the most?
You can build a wall 100 foot high and 200 foot thick, and it's not going to solve anything if you don't have boots on the ground at the wall.
We do not,
I will repeat it 1,000 times, we do not have boots on the ground at the international boundary. The federal agents have retreated inland 30, 50, 100 miles. There's nobody on the border. If you have people on the border, you don't need the wall.
Right.
It's that simple.
Okay. You know, it was funny. I was just looking at the stories on Afghanistan yesterday, and like you said in your book, the highest value of exports of cocaine and heroin are coming from Afghanistan. They go to Mexico. And a lot of that comes through the border. And if we ever wonder why they want to keep this open so badly... we could probably do a whole nother hour just on that, I'm sure. And because, you know, we're not stopping the flow of that, and we have to stop the flow of that too. But I agree with you. It has to be boots on the ground too. And we've got to, that meeting that you had with McCain was so ridiculous, as he kept saying, we need metrics. Metrics are facts, like you said. And he said, we got plenty of facts, but they just don't want to listen to them. And so we've got to do something. And it's so unfortunate. My heart goes out to Nick Ivey and Nick Ivey's family because of what they've gone through. And I do hope that at some point they call for an investigation and do it loudly in the press so that they can get some answers on that too. I hope they do.
Right.
Oh, it's just tragic.
Well, if enough people find out what the truth is, possibly that will happen. Who Shot Nick Ivey by Huey Freeman. I mean, this is a very important book.
It really is. It is, because it's a
statement about our times.
Yeah, and the anatomy of a cover-up is really what it is, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Ed, your book is Alligators in the Moat. I would tell people to get that in a heartbeat, too. It's on my must-read list for all the books. I do a book list every year, and it's on every year. And I commend you on that as well, because I think you just did a tremendous job. I think you need to write a lot more about your experiences so people can understand. Because unless people can understand, we really don't know. And we really don't know. And for many of us, we don't live down there. So it's very, very hard to understand that problem. I thank you. Thank you for coming on. I really, really appreciate it, Ed. Thank you.
I appreciate what you do. You're a great friend.
Thank you.
A great patriot.
Thank you. Thanks, Ed. All right. What a great guy. And get his book, Alligators in the Moat. Get Huey Freeman's book, Who Shot Nick Ivey. It is the anatomy of a cover-up. You'll get to see how a cover-up happens and why. And it's just sad and tragic. Be right back with Susan as we jump down some rabbit holes in the next hour. Don't go anywhere.
How would you like to participate in stock market gains with zero risk? Join Lyle Boss of Boss Financial, Friday afternoons at 5.
On St. George News Radio, 1450.
If you're like me, you don't go to the dentist. You don't want to waste your time or your money. I get it. I'm a Dr. Bergman. He owns Red Hills Dental here in St. George. He knew I love classic cars, and he told me, hey, think of my mouth like a car. Sometimes it needs an oil change, and other times it'll need a full restoration. Of course, my teeth deserve the same attention, he said. So now, after a 60-point inspection and some minor repairs, my smile is restored. If you've been avoiding the dentist for whatever reason, visit with Dr. Bergman at Red Hills Dental. He'll take care of you.
Red Hills Dental. Go to sgsmiles.com.
Thank you for listening to The Kate Daly Show. You can go to The Kate Daly Show on Facebook, The Kate Daly Show on Twitter. Happy to see you there. And also message me. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at kate@katedalyradio.com. Go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of our live show.